And so there's a lot of people that's looking for a loophole. They're looking for another way other than the plan that God has set up. They're looking for another way of salvation. They're trying to work salvation out on their own. And when they stand before God, they will offer excuse after excuse after excuse. When God says to them, "Why should I let you in my heaven? And you come with any other reason except the fact that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realize that he died on a cross for sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, and I've prayed and I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior." If you hear anything other than that, God will not grant you access into heaven.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with his message titled, "All Men Are Without Excuse." So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of "All Men Are Without Excuse."
I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to the first chapter of the book of Romans. And as we continue on in our series on excuses, we're going to take a little different focus this morning. We're going to let up off of the beatdown and look at something else in reference to excuses. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are all without excuse. This morning I want to share with you on the thought, all men are without excuse. All men are without excuse. W.C. Fields, who many of us know and have heard of over our lifetime, was one of the greatest agnostics that ever lived. And he just doubted the existence of God and didn't know if he could swallow this Bible thing and this God thing and this Christ thing. And his whole life, he lived apart from God, denying the very existence of God. And when he came to the end of his life, on his deathbed, he was found reading a Bible. And someone said to him, knowing his life as an agnostic, asked him, "What in the world are you doing reading the Bible?" And he said, "I'm just looking for a loophole." And so there's a lot of people that's looking for a loophole. They're looking for another way other than the plan that God has set up. They're looking for another way of salvation. They're trying to work salvation out on their own, and when they stand before God, they will offer excuse after excuse after excuse. When God says to them, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" And you come with any other reason except the fact that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realize that he died on a cross for sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, and I've prayed and I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. If you hear anything other than that, God will not grant you access into heaven. And so we see here that whatever you're holding on to today, and you know one thing that I realized, you know, we had a lady that was in our church. In Bethany, I know when I came, she had been here a long, long time already. And we had the brothers from Chicago that came one year, and they did a revival. I think they came on a Wednesday, and they did a revival all the way to that Sunday. But I remember that night, this lady who, as far as I know, was in Bethany most of her life, They gave the invitation, and she came up, and she got saved. My. How can you be at Bethany and not be saved? Oh, I know that that's an arrogant, egotistical statement. And, you know, it seems as much gospel as we have around here, and we're always presenting Christ, and we're always giving the plan of salvation, that we try to make it clear. And yet and still, here's a lady that was here under maybe Pastor Tain, Pastor Farmer, Reverend Chin, and Pastor Glaze. And she sat in the congregation Sunday after Sunday, heard the gospel message, and never gave her heart to Christ. And I wonder how many people are here today. You're in the same situation. There's never been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. And when you stand, and I'm sure that when this lady stood before God, has she not accepted Christ? And since then, she's gone on home to glory. Had she not accepted Christ and she stood before God, I'm sure one of the things that she would have said, if God would have asked her, why should I let you into heaven, that she would have said, because I attended Bethany Baptist Church. My brothers and sisters, that's not going to get you in. Because you've been a member of Bethany Baptist Church, that's not going to get you in. She might have said, well, you know, I got baptized at Bethany when I was 12 years old. That's not going to get you in. You can be baptized, capsized, and simonized. That's not going to get you in. She might say, well, I've done good works. I've kept the Ten Commandments. I've lived by the golden rule. All that's good, but it's not going to get you in. And so we see that when you stand here, and this is what's known as the Great White Throne Judgment, and one thing about the Great White Throne Judgment, I know that there's a bunch of controversy with some people, but one thing about the Great White Throne Judgment is that no saved folk will be there. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. This is going to be all unsaved folk standing around. So, maybe I should have got another picture. I don't know why they put them in white robes, because there was no transformation of the heart. And so here these people are standing before the Lord. And no, I don't know what excuse they're going to come up with, but Romans says that all men are without excuse. And why are they without excuse? Two reasons this morning. Two reasons why man will have no excuse when he comes before the Lord. The first reason is found in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. One translation says that God has made it plain. God hasn't confused or clouded the issue, but all men will stand before God not because they were confused, not because it was cloudy, and not because they didn't understand. Because the scripture says, and I'm going to show you here in a minute what I'm talking about, the scripture says that God has made it plain. Somebody will say, well, I never heard the gospel. I never knew that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I'm going to tell you what. I was one of those Tucson Christians when I was growing up. And the Tucson Christian, that's a person that goes to church two Sundays out of the year. And that was Christmas and Easter. All right? And to be honest, Easter, the only reason I went, because I got a new outfit. And I knew the ladies was there. That's right. So my heart wasn't right with God. But you know what? And I can say that I grew up and I never heard the gospel. I never understood it. But you know what? I'm sure that every Sunday, the preacher at the church where I was at, that said something about Christ. I have a hard time believing that a preacher can go through message year after year after year and not say anything about Christ. So I got to believe that somewhere, when I sat there in church those two Sundays a year, that somewhere he said something about Christ. And I missed it. But God had made it plain. And it wasn't anything wrong with God. It wasn't anything wrong with the message. I was the one that missed it. And there's people sitting here today. And, you know, I prayed so hard this morning. I was glad that I didn't have to teach concept class today because I just stayed in my, and I prayed so hard this morning. And I said, Lord, if there's somebody here today that thinks they're a Christian, that thinks they're saved, Lord, I pray that you would touch their heart and show them and open their eyes today. And I hope that you, as members, that, you know, if you are saved and you know that you're saved, that you're praying right now, that there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord, that today God might reach out and grab their heart, because we're going to make it plain. God said it's made plain. And the second thing that he says, all men are without excuse, not only because he has made it plain, but because he has revealed himself to man. God has revealed himself to man three ways. First of all, he's revealed himself in the Word. Now, if you're not in a place where you're hearing the Word, you're not going to feel and touch and see the revelation of God. Because this is the revelation of God. You open this Bible and it tells you about who? It tells you about God. God is pasted and printed on every page of this Bible. And when you read the Bible, God just jumps out at you. And so God has revealed himself in his Word. The second place where God has revealed himself is that he has revealed himself in the hearts of men. That everybody that's born has a knowledge of God. Now, what you do with that knowledge is up to you. If you become an atheist, or if you become an agnostic, or if you become a pantheist or a deist or whatever, you start out, every person starts out with a knowledge of God in their spirit. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. It said, for when the Gentiles and the Jews had the law, they had Jesus Christ. They had all that. And Paul says, for when the Gentiles who have not the law, oh, watch this now. Somebody get this. Don't miss this. Don't let this go over your head. That don't have the law, and by nature, they do the things contained in the law. Did you hear that? That they didn't have the law like the Jews. But by nature, they did the things that were in the law. And why was that? Verse 15. Who show the work of the law written on their... God writes his law on the heart of every human being that comes into this world. God writes his law in their mind. He writes his law in their heart. And God says that even if you go on to read there, it says, who show the work of the law written in their hearts and their what? And their conscience also bearing witness. God says, I've written my law in their hearts and also in their conscience. And when you hear somebody say that they're atheists, or you hear somebody say that they're agnostic, then what they have done is they have just fail to recognize this law that's written on their heart. They are denying the very law that's written in their spirit. But it's there. God has revealed himself in his Word. God has revealed himself in man's heart. And then look at the final revelation of God. This is what we call natural revelation. And it's found in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all men are without excuse. Notice the oxymoron in verse 20. What is an oxymoron? You know, flaming snowflake. How can a snowflake be flaming, right? It's either going to be a flame or it's going to be a snowflake. It can't be a flaming snowflake. Look at the oxymoron here. He says, the invisible things are clearly what? What an oxymoron. What an oxymoron. How can invisible things be clearly seen? Even his eternal power, that God's power and Godhead are seen. How can you see? You can't see power. You can't see power. You can see the results of power. You know, you can, when the wind blows and knocks everything over, you can see the results of power, but you can't see power. You can't see God, because God is a spirit. God is invisible. You can't see. You know, we will never see God in his essence. And the only way that we will see God is if he manifests himself as something. In heaven, when Jesus trotted out as the Lamb, What did he do? He manifested himself as a lamb. That in the book of Daniel, when you see the Ancient of Days, this old man sitting on the throne, that's a manifestation of God. But we will never see God because God is a spirit. And so Paul says that the invisible things, his what? His power and his deity cannot be seen. But now they can be seen. And how are they seen? They are seen and they are made plain by his revelation, his natural revelation, his revelation in nature. And you know, it says here that all men are without excuse. What does that mean? That means when you stand before God that you can't offer an excuse. The word excuse there is the Greek word apologeuso, which we get the English word apologetics from. So what is apologetics? Apologetics is a defense of the faith. When you stand before God, you can't give any defense. There's absolutely no defense that you can give. Now, I have a series of slides that I want to show to you. And, you know, I apologize to the people who are listening to this on the CD or who will hear this message on radio, because you won't be able to see see the slides, but I'll try to talk us through them as we go through the slides. That God said you can't, you know, the invisible things are manifested in creation, natural revelation. When the man gets up and he goes out on the lake and he looks and sees the water and he looks and sees the mountains, that's a manifestation of God. The next, when a man goes to Niagara Falls and he sees the water going over the falls, and if you've ever got on the boat and rode on the Maid of Mist, and you had to wear that little rubber jacket over you so that you didn't get the mist all over you, that's an invisible thing of God that's clearly seen. Moving on. If you look up in the mountains, the snow-capped mountains, the invisible things, God's power and God's spirit and God's deity might not be seen for personally, but they are seen, as Paul said, they are clearly seen in the mountains and in the green fields. Next slide. God's power is seen when you look up in the sky. We might not be able to see his deity. We might not be able to see his power, but we can look up in the sky and see a manifestation. The invisible things are made plain as we look up in the sky. Next slide. We might not be able to see the power of God, but we can look at the green grass and we can look at the trees that grow along the river and we can see the clouds and we can see a manifestation of God. We can walk out on a snow-covered night and look across a snow-covered field and look up into a clear sky where the moon is shining and the stars are shining. And we might not be able to see God, but we can see a manifestation of God. God says, I have made it plain. God says, I have clearly revealed myself. Woo! God said, I've revealed myself to you. Next slide. When you look up in the sky on a starry night, and David said in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. The stars go on telling the story. They don't stop telling the story. It says, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night it pours out knowledge. You ever see tag team wrestling? When somebody gets tired of wrestling, they tag them and the other guy comes in. The stars praise him all night. And when they get tired, they tag the sun and the sun comes out and praises him all day long. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about tag team praise. Oh, we need some tag team praise here. People that come here on Sunday morning and they ask you to stand up, and you might get tired of standing up, but the person next to you got a little energy and you say, look, I got to sit down for a minute, but get the praise on for me. Get the praise on for me. Tag team praise. The invisible qualities are clearly seen by those who study the planets. when you can look at the sun and see the sun being at the center of our universe, and you see all these planets that are moving around the sun at astronomical speeds, and around some of those planets, you have moons revolving around planets, and on some planets, more than one moon revolving around it. And not only that, but this whole thing is just moving through eternity and just doesn't mess up or doesn't run into each other. The invisible qualities of God are clearly seen. That's what Paul's trying to say here. Paul says that the invisible things of him from the creation, when did it start? It started at the creation. That they are clearly seen and they're understood, that they are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Next one. Okay, that was it. I'm preaching myself happy up here. I was going to make another. I thought maybe they got excited and added another slide. All right, but it says that when we look at the manifestation of God, that all men are without excuse. And God has revealed himself. And somebody will ask the question, how can a person in the remotest part of the world, in the remotest jungle of the world, nobody has ever come in there and brought a Bible, or nobody has ever come in and told them about Jesus Christ, how in the world can they be right with God? And how in the world can they be saved? And I'm going to say this. God said in his word that he has manifested himself in creation. And he has given them, they might not have the Bible, but they've got the light of conscience and they've got the light of creation. And I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to show you a very important principle this morning. And this is why your family members are not saved. This is why your coworkers are not saved. This is why your neighbors are not saved. Because they have not followed the light that God has given them. And if somebody who is in the remotest part of the world follows the light, the little bit of light, whatever it is, that God gives them, God will give them more light. There's a saying, light accepted brings more light. Light rejected brings forth night. You ought to get that in your spirit. Light accepted brings more light. Light rejected brings forth night. And praise God. You know, I think about my testimony. I've shared my testimony with you before. That when I was a sophomore in college, I began this journey of seeking God. And there was something in my spirit that said that I needed to be right with God. Now, once again, I grew up all these years, you know, exposed to church, not going and not being a faithful church person, but being exposed to it. And so there was some light that God began to open my eyes to when I became a sophomore in college. And as I began to search this light, I realized that, and I didn't know what I needed. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what I needed. But I knew that there was something that was not right between me and God. I knew there was something. And one of my friends who had become a Christian, I asked him. I came home from college one summer, and I asked him, what can I do to get right with God? And he said, I'm glad you asked me that. And so I had a little car, and he said, well, let's take a ride. So we rode, and we rode up into some mountains. And he said, now just think of Jesus dying on the cross. Just think of Jesus dying on the cross. And just start saying, thank you, Jesus. 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 And so, I mean, I'm thinking, I'm on this search, right? Light.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of All Men Are Without Excuse. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, All Men Are Without Excuse, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request All Men Are Without Excuse. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request All Men Are Without Excuse. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, please visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.